Well, now, traditional music of Wales. And for the last of our three programmes, we join once again Gwyn L. Williams.
This afternoon, we've travelled a short way out of the university city of Bangor. And here we are, a couple of miles away, in the small village of Talavant. This is where the land begins its inexorable rise from the sea towards the 3,000-foot heights of Eryri, Snowdonia, the traditional stronghold of the Welsh princes and of the Welsh language. And here, in this windy spot, just outside Talavant, is Cochwyllan Hall, which was originally the house of William ap Gruffydd, who fought alongside Henry VII at Bosworth. The house has now been restored to what it might have been like in the 15th century. We've come in through the door directly into the hall, which occupies most of the entire building. At either end of this wonderful space are oak screens, behind which are the various domestic apartments. But it's here, in this hall, that William ap Gruffydd would have enjoyed family feasts and small public events. And it's here, on such occasions, that canu penillion, the ancient art of penillion singing, would have been heard.
Thank you.
Cor Seiriol, with a contemporary pennillion setting about the tale of Dwynwen, the patron saint of lovers here in Wales. The foremost authority on the craft of pennillion singing is Aled Lloyd Davis.
Pennillion means verses, verses that are sung, and sung in a particular way, in a unique way, that's not found anywhere else in the world, as far as I can gather. And while you're singing, you have to try and marry two things. The rhythm of the music has to fit in with the rhythm of the words. In other words, the accented beats of the verses that you sing should fall in with the accented beats of the music or the harp melody that you choose.
Every morning when I wake, dear Lord, a little prayer I make. Oh, please do keep thy lovely eye on all poor creatures born to die.
That is unusual. Pennillion, because I sang it in English, but you noticed that the harp had to begin alone. And then I entered with my poem. That was a poem by Dylan Thomas, which comes from Under Milk Wood. And the character who speaks it in the play was the friendly, naive priest, the Reverend Eli Jenkins. And he was uttering his little evening prayer above the town of Llareggub.
Osian Ellis is going to be our modern equivalent of the medieval minstrel this afternoon. His task is not an easy one.
The singer starts with a poem that he wants to set to music. He likes it and he decides, yes, I'll sing this. He then has to choose a harp melody that suits the mood of the words that he's going to sing. And then he forms his own counter melody, which should illustrate the mood of the poem that he's singing, and should illustrate the meaning of some of the words in the poem that he sings. And each singer will form his own counter melody and will sing his own interpretation of what the poet's trying to say. And that's why each setting would be different.
Usually I like to choose poems which appeal to me. And then I'll see the nature of that poem. Here's one that I'll choose now. It's a famous Welsh poem of the early 20th century by the great poet T. Gwyn Jones. And it's about the legendary Welsh hero, King Arthur, as he bids farewell to his faithful knight, Bedivere. He claims in this peroration that he will return to his people and restore his country to its former glory. Now I need something like a heroic tune. So I'll try this one. The Procession of the King, Ymdaith y Brenin. I think that's sufficiently heroic for this song. So then I measure the length of the poem, or the stanzas. In this case, it's a much longer poem, and I shall choose maybe 20 lines or so. So I've got to fit them into that tune. So here then is the poem, as I set it, The Death of Arthur.
Even he'd torn all, he'd the gown with the call at tall, when he delod he the premisc a brohid. Heard and live by falling glad. A mae hanner som hyn a da bod a'i byd dofyd bair cerhedyd y con fri bair pob hiw newid byd wal po cyn i'r edrych ar gwir anghofir hefyd ar ein gwlad dal brad a'i wryd a nelyn bryn drieni ond o'r bwyn yn ôl dal byd i weiddi am ddedwyddi
Back in Bangor, in the Welsh department of the University College there, I spoke with the poet and academic Gwyn Thomas.
Poets were employed, were rewarded for chanting the praises of, at first, warrior lords, and then in the Middle Ages, for chanting the praises of the noblemen. They could also satirise these people, sometimes with devastating effect, because the poet in an early Celtic society, and even in the Middle Ages in Ireland and Wales, there was something of a supernatural aura about him. He was a kind of magician as well as a poet. In Ireland and in Wales, for example, the poet who was kept at the court of a nobleman would chant his praises of an evening, perhaps, in the great hall when people had gathered for a feast. There were three classes of people concerned with the art of poetry and music. First of all, you had the cerdd dafod, the craft of the tongue. These would be the poets. Then you have cerdd dant, the craft of music. And then you had the datganiaid, or declaimers, people who chanted the poems. Although probably the same person could do the three things.
Back to Cochwyllan and to our modern minstrel, Osian Ellis.
Here's a poem about a happy, carefree life of a gypsy. Each verse has seven lines, so the harp has to play several bars before I join in.
Caravan mewn cwrwf yn dyd Newi deilwyd bof yn eilwyd Rhwng y llenni gerdd hi Hab na iri am waith cedi Hei ho, hei di ho Beth os tyri o gwynt o'r de Digon hawdd newid lle Mi'r orgaseg yn yr harnes Somyr na fi gornel gynnes Heb nefoedd fach i dri Romani a riwth a mi Hei ho, hei di ho amser gwell i ddod mi'r o gariad i hen ferched ac mi werth ar lond fy masged yn anol at Romani i garafan a garaf hi hei ho hei
Just as in English you have a sonnet, and everybody can see a sonnet and say, yes, that's a sonnet, I know it by its shape and size. Well, so we have in Welsh poetry, in the strict metres at least, we have 24 different metrical forms. And in the olden days, when they used to compete singers used to compete against one another, the adjudicator would tell the harpist to play a certain melody. He would play the melody once through. That would be the competitor's thinking time, if you like. Then they would draw lots as to the order of singing. The first singer would then sing a verse without any prompting, without any book to look at. He had to have all these committed to memory. And then he would sing a verse of a particular shape and form. Now then, all the other competitors in line would then have to follow with a verse of exactly the same metrical form. If they all succeeded, they were all into the next round. It was like the FA Cup, really.
There is one reference in a 17th century document called the Statute of Gruffydd Ap Cynan. The poets in the 17th century were trying to organise themselves in a more orderly way, and they produced this document and said that it had the authority of an old prince, but it may contain some very old elements, nobody knows exactly. But in this document it says that if there is no harpist present at a feast where a poem was to be chanted, they could use a stick-end declaimer, as they called him, datganiad pen pastun, and then he would accompany himself with his stick by striking it on the ground to accompany the poem. It may provide us a clue to the declamation of medieval Welsh poetry. Os marw honnyn nis conwy, ni ddylai mai ddeilio mwy. In the first line, about her dying in East Conwy, you have hon yn East Conwy, os marw hon yn East Conwy. You have internal rhyme. And in the second, you have a response of consonants. Ni ddylai mai ddlm ddeilio mwy, ddlm. Ni ddylai mai ddeilio mwy.
It is rare in English, but you find it occasionally, as in this line from a poem of William Barnes, Lyndon Lee. You have to listen to the consonants here. Lean down low in Lyndon Lee. L-N-D-N-L. Lean down low. And this is answered by the same consonants in Lyndon Lee, L-N-D-N-L. Then again, you might have a line which may be divided into three. We'll find, we'll mind this Monday. The first two parts rhyme. We'll find, we'll mind. And then parts two and three, the consonants answer each other. Mind and Monday, M-N-D. Here's a part of a poem by an Elizabethan sea captain, Thomas Pris, who describes with wit and energy his exploits at sea as he battles against the Spaniards. He writes in an amusing, macaronic style, partly in Welsh and partly in English. And you'll hear his commands to his seamen.
Hey, Blin, trws y haliad brysur iawn, brysia i'r iard. Bryn hir the timber, tomboi mot i'r can y fyr boi. Wns on hoist of the mensel by Mary, I see you say. A cwrdd ymladd, gwarth amlwg i lost our men a chester ar mwg. Give back, let's all be taken, I swore to save some men. We took an unfortunate day, we'll find, we'll mind this Monday. Amma gyfais, o'n gofal, amma daith, amma o dal. Dowt i mi, o daw Thomas, adran siwr o'r glydd o'r glas. Before I will pill or part, by a ship, I'll be a shepherd.
Here's a rather unusual Penillion setting. It's a poem that I sang first in South America, Argentina. And at the south of Argentina, there's a sort of Welsh colony there in Patagonia, which has been there since 1865. And in 1965, I went there to celebrate their centenary with lots of Welsh people. A whole plane load of Welsh people flew there. And I took part in concerts. And one of the people with me was the Welsh poet Bryn Williams, who'd lived as a young boy in Patagonia and had written a great heroic poem about Patagonia, which in fact we performed during concerts. But he also wrote me a poem which he thought I'd like to sing in Spanish. So he wrote me this song of longing for Patagonia, and particularly for the beautiful mountains of the Andes. So I shall begin in the traditional style and set the poem in Welsh, but suddenly I'll break out into fluent Spanish, and my harp will tend to do the same.
Gwyntydd yn fy enaid, gaelw arnaf dros y don, a fy nôl i'r fro fendigaid, a daw hen i'm drylltio gron, crwylon boen sydd yn fy mynwes, i'r aeth cwyll am gwm y randes. Ai tristeza en mi alma, sin la paz de mi hogar, oigo el viento que me llama, con anhelo sobre el mar, arrojándome su lazo, de amor en fuerte abrazo. Patagonia, a revivir mi juventud, encontrando en la colonia una vida de quietud. Mi dolor es una fiera, esterado de mi tierra. Engaña muy dichoso mi vejez, consolas en mi cabaña sin dejarte otra vez. Un vivir con toda calma es el sueño de mi alma.
It used to be the craft of the individual, and each individual would express himself or his idea of what the poet was trying to say, and he'd try and do it to the best of his ability, and each individual would be totally different from the other. But round about the 1930s, someone decided that it might be an idea if you had more than one voice singing at the same time. It really took off, and you had groups and choirs even now, as they do today, who make a setting, or at least one person makes a setting, and then it's as if you were learning a part song, it's taught to a group, but still within the framework of the rules of setting words to music, which those are still traditional, but the extemporizing element has gone.
If the art of truly improvised Penillion singing is being lost, then its place is being taken by the new hybrid, which marries choral part song with a counterpoint of the original, and the harp, as always, remains essential. Here's Cor Seiriol again, directed by Gwenant Pearce, with her imaginative setting of a recent Welsh poem about the horror of contemporary warfare. We've come a long way from the days when Welsh poets used to sing of the praises of battle and of the glory of the victory.
Oh,
Sariel and Gwennant Pierce singing of the horrors of urban warfare in that example of contemporary Penythlian setting, with a little help from Mozart. The programme was produced and presented by Gwyn L. Williams.